Praise the Lord.
So last week we did a topic and we're continuing. This is the second part of our topic. But mostly we're just going to do the B part of it. The topic was walk continually in love because love covers a multitude of sins. So we said always walk in love. When you're not sure what to do, how to act, what do? We did it last week, act in love. If you don't know what to say in a situation, what do? You speak in love. You're making a decision and you're confused. What do? You decide out of love. So whatever it is, we say always, always walk in love because love covers a multitude of sins. So last week we talked practically about how to walk in love. So today is going to be basically how love covers a multitude of sins. Praise the Lord. So we saw the meaning of agape love last week. We say it's not a feeling. It's a volition, an act of the will, something you determine. You know what? I'm going to go along with what the Word of God says to do. It's not how I feel. It's not what somebody else has done, but what God wants to be done. That is agape love. It's not based on feeling. It's not carnal. It's not a carnal love. Praise the Lord. So we saw what Jesus accomplished for us when he died on that cross. And we said that the pulpit, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is this pulpit, just his love for us, the cross of Calvary, the cross of the Lord Jesus, we can preach it. It's preached. How do I put it? The love of Jesus is preached in his cross. I'll get to that. Praise the Lord. So I'll correct it. I put it the way I put it last week. So we also saw that agape love doesn't have to be merited. It doesn't have to be earned. It's just a gracious love, constantly seeking the benefit of the other person. Amen? We say that we can do it because we know that Jesus, God has sent out that love. He said the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. So we have no reason, we have no excuse not to walk in the love we're talking about. Since we have love, we have joy, we have peace, we all have them in our spirit. So what do? Is that whenever we need it, you have to pull it out if you so choose to do. Once you're willing, there's a way. Praise the Lord. Let me see one thing. So we talked about imitating, how to imitate our Father, how to imitate God. We read Ephesians 5, 1 to 7. Why should we imitate him? It's a command. Praise the Lord. And he says, how do you imitate him? He says, imitating him. By doing what? Walking in love. That's how you imitate God. Can I give an example? You cannot imitate somebody you don't know. For you to imitate God, you have to know who he is through the Word of God. You have to know God, fellowship with the Word of God at all times, and in prayer also, so that we know whom you're asked to imitate, and also what you're asked to imitate. Praise the Lord. So if I cannot find it, I'm going to go quickly to what I have today. I wanted to go into one or two things that I did, but let me just go straight away to what I have today. Praise the Lord. It's taking too much time. So today we're continuing with always walk in love because love covers a multitude of sin. So we're going to read, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to read something that I've been wanting to do all this time. The agape love of Christ, as we see in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to first of all read 1 to 3, then I'll do 4 to 8. Our second text will be 1 Peter, chapter 4, 7 to 11. So let me go quickly to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong
or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. If I speak with the tongues of men, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter how much tongues you can blow. It doesn't matter how much you can interpret, whatever it is. If you're doing it, but you don't have love, the Bible says it is just an annoying distraction. That will tell you just how important love is. And we should know that it is important because God, the Bible says, God is love. Praise the Lord. That is just its essence. God is love. So he says, when you do this, when you have this gift of speaking in tongues, you can speak as much as you want to. But if you're doing it without love, there's no love in you. I'm talking about agape love. I'm going to quickly run through it so you see how what it looks, the description of the love I'm talking about. If you don't have this love, no matter what you think, no matter how spiritual you are, it says what you're doing is just what? An annoying distraction. Praise the Lord. I want you to know, no matter how spiritual you are, and you're having problem loving people around you, loving other brothers, other sisters, what you're doing is an annoying distraction. It says, and if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, reaching out to others, I'm nothing. I want to impress this. I want to drive it home. You can have all the gifts you want. You can have all the gifts you want to have. You can, you know, express all of them. You have whatever it is, that gift, you have it. He says, but if you don't have love, if you don't reach out to others in love, he says, you are nothing. I don't know what you have. But look at your sister, your brother around you. How much time? How do you reach out to them in love when they are passing through situation every day? Some of us, to even say hello is problem. It's wahala. Much more saying, sister, I had this, I had that. Is there any way I can help? We just pretend as if it's just all about you. You coming in here, it's about you when you live here. It's about you at home. It's about you the whole week till you come back here again on Sunday. It's all about you. When everything is all about you. Every second of the day is all about you. He says you can have all, and then you think you're going to have the gift of prophecy. You have all kinds of gifts, and yet you're not showing love, extending that love to people around you, to that sister that needs help, to that brother that needs help, to that child that needs help, to that neighbor that needs help. So if you're not doing it, you're nothing. I want us to understand. And that is why I don't even have to say anything. Just knowing that God is love is enough to drive this message home to us. Praise the Lord. It says, if I give my possessions to feed the poor, I'm the one that gives the biggest donation, the biggest contribution. If I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. It does you no good at all. You can give a donation of $1 million to any church, to any charity organization, do whatever, give and give and give and give. See, it has met up, look, all the requirements you're giving. You have the gift of prophecy, the gift of this one, you can speak in tongues, you understand that, you can interpret them, but something is lacking. If you don't have love, it says you are nothing. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're exhibiting that agape love that we just read here. Are you seeing that love work out in your life? I want to read Colossians 3:14. It says, beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. What brought me here? It says it is a perfect bond of unity. Then all I can remember is, Asmin, I want to prepare some soup. I want to do probably like okra soup, vegetable. You know, you have vegetable, you have okra, you have the fish, you have everything. But it needs something to bind it together, isn't it? You need to put it together, cook it in the pot, and then mix up everything, and then it cooks. It's bound together. No, you cannot separate that vegetable from the, you can no longer break, separate the different ingredients that you use, the crayfish, the pepper. You can't separate them again. Let me use a better illustration. I don't know, this rice candy that kids have. You know, this rice candy that they eat? Okay, rice crispy. Okay, so you know how to do it. I know they have, we have to use marshmallow, right? Okay, that marshmallow, all that rice crispy, they're all separate, they're apart, right? The only way to bring it together is to melt the marshmallow and then pour the rice crispy into it and then make it into a mold. Then you can now cut them up to the different shapes that you want. It's just like that. You can have all that rice crispy all the way. It can never form that candy without the marshmallow. Otherwise, you'll just be picking it and eating it one by one. But it's bound together. You bind it together with the marshmallow. With all the gifts we have, with all the talents we have, with every ability we have, we need love to bind it together. Praise the Lord. So I didn't do verses 4 to 8 because I love what I found there on YouTube. It begins to talk about the characteristics of this agape love. It says, agape love believes all things. It bears all things. Let me see where it started. I think I went down below. It says, it does not suffer long. It suffers long, I mean. So I want, it says, it suffereth long. When you see this King James thing, you get confused. It suffereth long. Are you patient with people? Are you patient with them when they miss it? Are you patient with them when they bring out those undesirable qualities? Are you patient with your husband, with your wife, when he's taking his time to do something you know is very needful at that particular time? How much patience do we have for a sister who goes wagging her tongue or who goes making other people's problem their own problem? A sister who talks anyhow, who doesn't, or brother who talks anyhow, that they don't even weigh the words they speak. How much patience do you have with people that you think do not qualify to be what you think they should be? Do you have patience with others? Are you quickly frustrated with them and then condemning them? It's agape love to have patience with people who are not like you. People who are down below, I like the way Pastor says, people that you know that have not gotten it. People who behave in certain ways that are contrary to what you think is spiritual. Just how patient are you with them? In this church, in your workplace, in your family. It says love is kind, agape love. Kindness. And when I was looking up kindness, when I saw love, I saw kindness. Two of them go hand in hand. Sometimes I'm using love for kindness. I'm wondering. No wonder. It's one of the qualities. Agape, it says, are you kind? Do you show kindness? Are you kind or harsh in your actions and your attitudes to this sister, to this brother, to your boss, to your co-worker that you know irritates you, brings out the worst in you? That's how we say, right? They shouldn't bring out the worst in us. Agape love said, be patient, be kind to them. You don't have to be harsh. Praise the Lord. Check yourself. Just how kind are you to the most annoying sister or brother in this church? How kind are you to the most annoying child in this church, in your neighborhood? Just how kind are you to an annoying mother-in-law, father-in-law, or daughter-in-law? Just how kind are you? Agape love is kind, no matter the circumstance, no matter the annoyance, no matter the irritation, no matter the hatred that you can see from the other person. Agape love is always kind. Praise the Lord. It envieth not. Envy. Somebody has a gifting and you're envious. Somebody just bought a Porsche car, a Mercedes car, a BMW. I'm not one that is good in cars. I don't even know the name of my car. Sometimes I forget it. I need to be reminded. So when somebody around you is being blessed, especially the one that you think does not deserve it, you think does not deserve it, and you think you've worked so hard, you think you're more spiritual, you're more prayerful than this person, why should I should be the one to get this blessing? Why are their children doing so well? Why? Because, and mine is not. I know how much time I put into my children, how much time I invest in this church. I let my children do everything in the church. They're in this ministry, they're in the other ministry. Why are these ones being blessed? Do you take pleasure in the blessings of these ones, in the accomplishments of others? Are you jealous of them? Agape love rejoices with others. Praise the Lord. No matter who they are, no matter how far they've gone, no matter where you are, agape love will always, always rejoice with a sister, with a brother. Praise the Lord. It vaunted not itself. Do you notice and fulfill others' needs, or do you promote yourself and your needs above theirs? Somebody is talking about their need. But you won't even let them talk. You're promoting your own. What is she talking about? She needs $10. How about me? I need $100. Now, if I'm going to do this that women are doing, I need more money. What is she talking about? She needs a car. What is she talking about? She can use that thing that she has. I'm the one that needs a better one. See where I'm. I mean, I have to drive all the way to this place, to that place. I do this work in the church. I do that work. I run around. What does she do? You now throw your own. The person is trying to even tell you. You bring your own need and present before that person. If you notice and fulfill others' needs, it shows agape love. And that is what God wants you to do. To notice their needs. To fulfill their needs. My husband was, when he came here, I wasn't here. I didn't come here. When he was here, he came before me. So he was going to, Redeemed Church. He had a need. He didn't have a car. He just came. But do you know that every Sunday we go to church, asking for somebody to help him, just to give me a ride to the church. When he's presenting his need, they're talking about something else. His own is no need at all. They never, never identified with that need. We have sisters and brothers here who have needs. Clothing, food, money. We should be able to realize it. Even if you're a prayerful person, the Lord will lead you. The Lord will lead you to that person. You ask, how do I be of help to this person? Daddy, what do I do? She has everything. What do I give her? The Lord will lead you to what you give her. She doesn't have everything. Just ask. The Lord will show you. Praise the Lord. That is agape love. Agape love is not puffed up. It's not proud. Do you feel the need to promote your supposed superiority? Are you content to quietly live for others? Just how content are you when you feel that you're more superior to this person and I know, why should she be used in this position? After all, she's too carnal. You want to do what they ask her to do. You're the one that's supposed to do it. You're the one that's supposed to hold this position. Even in your workplace. That is pride. You don't think that they measure up. You're the one who is supposed to do it. You know it all. They don't know as much as you do. That is not love. The kind of love we're talking about. Love, agape love, is not puffed up. Agape love does not promote its own superiority over others. It doesn't behave itself unseemingly. Are you morally or socially appropriate, or do you make others uncomfortable? Man, you can sit with some sisters or brothers and you'll be so uncomfortable, the things they say, the things they do, the way they carry themselves, the comments they make, the way they react to issues. You'll be like, oh my God. Do you seek other people? Are you unselfish, or do you use others to fulfill your needs, seeking not her own? Agape love. That is why it's a selfless love. It doesn't think about itself. It just thinks about people around him. Agape love does not think about it. It is selfless. It is not selfish. Always thinking about others. To bring out the good, to help them. Not about me me, me. That's a topic that Pastor Joyce Meyer, me, she did a long time ago. That thing blesses me because sometimes I see myself like that. All you think about is you. All you think about is you. My child, my son, my husband, my wife, my car, my dress, my shoe. It has to be you. Not even caring that there are people around you who don't even have the shoe, they don't even have the leg, they don't have the car. I mean, people that need help, desperately need help to meet those needs. Let God use you because you're blessed to be a blessing. Try to be a blessing to those people around you. Put aside your own needs and do what? Think about the needs of the people around you. Praise the Lord. That is agape love. It doesn't seek its own, but rather it seeks for those around him. It's not easily provoked. Do you delight in helping others, or are you easily irritated and aggravated by their needs? I don't want anything to, please. This person is trouble, oh, it's trouble. She cannot, or he cannot be anywhere without causing trouble. I can't handle that. Now, please, I don't want to be in the same ministry with them. I don't want to be in the same group. If that person is in this group, you want to be in the other group. If a pastor says, please help us in this group. Oh, is Sister Bia? Oh, no, I'm not going to go there. Because every slightest thing provokes you. But when you love and you're really humble, you will not be provoked by certain things. We'll get into that. We'll talk about that more. Praise the Lord. Agape love thinks no evil. Do you quickly forgive, or do you take inventory of others' errors to use against them? You know, last week we talked about love and love and love and forgiveness. That love does not keep a record of wrongs. But most of us, like my husband reported me some time ago, I told him I'm still working on it. Most of us are still working on it too, to forget and also to forgive and also try to not to remember and bring it up all the time. Forgive and forget. I'll get into that. There's a little illustration I saw that just made me crack up when I was reading. Praise the Lord. Agape love does not think evil. You know, some people, about being easily provoked, sometimes you avoid certain people, right? Because they're like a time bomb. I just wanted to go back to that one. You don't want to be around them because you don't know what you will say. You offend them. You don't know what you will do. You offend them. You might keep quiet. You offend them because they say you're slighting them. You just don't know how to get around those people. That is what is being easily provoked. Any slightest thing will provoke them. That is not agape love. Being easily angered and easily provoked. Agape love thinks no evil. Do you quickly forgive, or do you take inventory? I did that. Agape love rejoices not in iniquity. This rejoices and all this. It does not rejoice in iniquity. Are you pleased when all that sin? Really? The daughter did that? If it's my daughter now, they're rejoicing. Thank God. Let me see how she'll come and begin to preach holiness or preach this one to us. Look at her own daughter. Look at her son. Some people are like that. Agape love does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. Do you delight when others learn and follow the truth? That is what agape love is. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. Do you have a limit to what you will endure for others? Or do you trust God to supply the love and grace to endure patiently? Some of us have a problem. You know what? She did this. She did that. She did the other one. She gets on my nerves. She always constantly, you know what? I've gotten it up to here. I've taken it up to here. She's pushed me against this wall. Now you're going to react. That is not agape love. Agape love bears all things. The bad mouth, even with the gift you gave to her, she didn't even say thank you. What you did, you had it somewhere else. Look at what she gave to me. What she said to give me, as if I'm a second-hand user. With all that, you continue to bear and continue to love. And continue to love because your father wants you to love like that. And he has deposited that love, shed it abroad in your heart so that you have the free will. You have the free, you're free will people. You have the choice to pull it out and continue to forbear. Praise the Lord. Believe all things. Do you look for the good in people? I expect the worst. Answer that question. Agape love hopes all things. Do you expect good in others? when they stray from God, or do you give up on people? Some of us just give up like that. But God gives us that long group. You repent. God forgives you. You ask for forgiveness. God, he doesn't just forgive, he restores you. But for some of us, forgiveness, now wahala, talk more of restoring that person. As being that your friend, you know what, I've caught, no. I've cut them off. I can't deal with that. I can't handle that. Her own is too much. His own, I have this daughter in the Lord. There are two of them, you know, in the school where I work. Every time I'm there resolving conflict, and one of them will always say, you know, mommy, no. This is too much. I can't handle this again. There's no hope for that person. There's no hope for her. There's no hope. That is not the love of God. That is not how God deals with us. Praise the Lord. God expects us to what? To hope all things. Hope for the better for this person. It endures. There's no limit to what we endure in agape love. Amen. You continue to endure. God has given you the ability to do it, because his own love is also shed abroad in our own hearts. Agape love never fails. If you have ever truly loved someone, you'll always love them. You know, when I'm talking about agape love, I want to bring it. Let me just, call a spade a spade. Most of us, when we talk about agape love, we're feeling like, okay, how can somebody do this? We can do that because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And above that, we have that love also in our own spirit. It is shed abroad in our hearts. If you think I'm not speaking the truth, how much do you love your children? Father, daddy, how much do you love your sons? How much do you love their mothers? How much do you love your children? How much do you love your baby, the last of them? You will go to any length to make them happy. I'm speaking the truth. You can go naked so that they will be dressed up, isn't it? You can go hungry so that they will eat. We sing it here, when are they hungry? My mother will not eat. She will give me her own food. That is what we're talking about. Love, putting the interest, the well-being of the other person before yours. We can do that agape love with our children, parents, especially mothers. But God, this is the agape love that is meant for everybody. We have it. We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. There's nothing I will not do for my kids. When they have a need, I was telling my husband, I wish one day I will make my daughter's academic loan to disappear. I will do anything. I can starve. I can go hungry. Because you love them. You will see your child, like my baby, Kenena. I will do anything just to make him not to have any lack at all. How will I mean, you go out of your way to go naked. I have my daughter, Chinenya. I know what I feel. Sometimes I say, God, I want to just transfer that thing that she's needing. If I have it to transfer, something that I cannot give, I want to just transfer it to her. I had a mother say, when my daughter-in-law was sick, Larissa, so I had her, the auntie, when I called her, we were just talking. I said, oh, this became. I said, God, don't go there, please, take me. Just take me, leave her, my bed, leave her, take me. This is what it is. She said, Lord, please don't go there. I'm begging you. Take me. I said, what? That is how much we love them. You're ready to sacrifice even your own life. He said, just take that sickness, put them on me, beg, leave them. Praise the Lord. So when we had the good news, she was the first to land in Georgia. She's an aunt. Agape love. Praise the Lord. That is what it is. Putting the interest of the other brethren, of the other sisters before yours. At this rate, I don't know why. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to read my next text. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11 says, the end and culmination of all things is near. Therefore, be sound-minded and self-contained for the purpose of prayer. Stay balanced and focus on the things of God so that your communication will be clear, reasonable, specific, and pleasing to him. Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness, unselfishness, unselfishly seeks the best for others. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Let me just stop there for time. So we can see verse 7, Peter begins to talk about sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. He talked about how sacrificial the love of God is, praise the Lord. Peter expected that it's imminent, the time of the Lord's next return. His return is imminent. So he was instructing us there to think clearly, to think soberly, to act reasonably, and to pray hard. And then the intended result will lead to loving deeply. He wants us to do what? To be sober. And I'm telling us, this challenge, this is what Peter is instructing us to do. The return of the Lord is really, really imminent. Don't let anything take away that time that you have. You want to share with God. Reading the Word of God. Praying. Because you cannot do without the Word of God. You cannot do without prayer. He says you should be what? Be sober. Be sober. Verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And then you begin to think, above all things, above all, he's been telling us in 1 Peter about the return of the Lord, how imminent it is, what to do, your prayer life, everything. He says, above all these things, he places love above everything that he has instructed us to do. He makes love the top of his list and describes the characteristics that we as believers in Jesus Christ should have. To love others deeply, above everything else, to love. Love is the umbrella command that covers other commands, covers all the laws. One law, that is loving, to love others, covers all the attitudes that we're supposed to have. It says, love each other deeply. It's not just, why didn't he just say love each other? But he said deeply. And I'm looking at the word deeply. Intensely, love them enormously, love them fanatically, love them completely, heartfelt, desperately, seriously, with all your strength. This is how God says we should love each other. That's how God says you should love that sister that you call your enemy, that irritating, annoying brother. That's how God says you should love them. Praise the Lord. We're to love them whether they deserve it or not. We all have faults. They don't deserve it. You don't even deserve the love of God either. God says, because you're imitating me, you want to be like me. You have to walk in love. As I've loved you, also love them. Praise the Lord. I loved you unconditionally. I love you sacrificially. With forgiveness too. Praise the Lord. We're to love them, whether they earn it or they don't earn it. We're to love them anyway. And loving them this way is possible. You know why it's possible? It's not a feeling. Like I said, it's an act of the will, what you've decided to do. Determined that I will love. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what they say. God's love is one-sided. It's not about you. It's about him. Praise the Lord. So whether they are getting it or not, today I want you to know it. You know, if you don't know what to do, that person that you hate the most, the one you think is a demon, the one you think is very carnal, go out of your way. Begin to show them love. Begin to show them love. You can buy stuff, little things, and you give to them to demonstrate your love. Praise the Lord. So this kind of love, you can command it because it's not a feeling. It's agape love. Amen? So agape love, the next thing he says again, he says love covers a multitude of sins. Covering here does not mean atonement too, like the one Jesus did for us. It means that love does not stir up or evoke sin. And actually buries that sin. When you see somebody's sin, your son, your daughter, your spouse, the sister, the brother, what do? You don't go and evoke, you know, begin to talk about it and begin to, you know, make it a big deal. What do? You choose to do what? To forgive. You choose to do what? Love them. Cover that sin with love. And you know, if you love somebody, actually God is saying to love somebody, you know, to love them, agape love. If you love them, will you steal from them? If you love them, will you want to murder them? If you love them, will you hate them? You cannot do something, anything to hurt them because you love them. Praise the Lord. And so when you see what they are doing, that evil, that harm, that bad thing, that sin, that whatever it is, be overwhelmed. Let your love for you, for them overwhelm you, so that you cover that sin with your love. Praise the Lord. That's how you do for your child. You think I don't know? Do you come and discuss how bad they are, what they have done? Some of us cover them, even when you're not supposed to. The one you're supposed to talk about and pray about, you don't want anybody to hear. We cover, God says to cover people's sin. Let your love cover their sin. Don't discuss. Don't gossip. Praise the Lord. To cover that sin is to forgive them. And forgiveness is always associated with love. Because I love my children so much. Whatever they do, I will forgive. Don't look at me. You all do the same. You all are guilty. Praise the Lord. That love that you have for your child, that sin that you're ready to forgive, to cover, if somebody else does it, you'll be the first to talk. But going forward, agape love is for you to cover your brother's sin with love. Cover your sister's sin with love. Cover that her gossiping with love. Cover her bad mouth with love. Cover whatever tattoo she has with what? With love. An example of the love that covers sin is the level of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus' sacrificial death on our behalf. Let me see. Romans 5:8. Or let me see first, sorry, Luke 23:34. It says, and Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. When they were there busy casting lots, dividing his clothes, he's asking that God will forgive them. He bore our iniquities, praise the Lord. Romans 5:8 says, but God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, that atoning sacrifice and the satisfying offering for our sin. In fact, Jesus did not just cover our sins, he took it away completely. Amen. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. We know what to do. When somebody gossips, it says love does not gossip. It does not gossip about sin. Rather than share the offenses of your brother and sister in Christ with one another, what do? You exercise that discretion and restraint and just love them. Matthew 18:15-17 tells us what to do. He says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens and pays attention to you, you have won back your brother. But if he does not, then take along with you one or two persons so that every word may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. You know, some time ago, somebody did something really, really terrible. And my first thought was to bring it out in a women's cabinet meeting. And then, after I was asking myself, what's the purpose of that? Am I bringing it out so I can expose her sin, her failures? We all have failures. To expose her shortcomings, we all have them. Then I thought, I said, no, that will not even make, it will not help matters. I've just ended up showing people, telling them just how she is. Then I thought twice, this is not agape love, honestly. When I was reading this, I said, you see, I was right, the decision I took. I will go to her privately and talk to her. There's no point taking it to the pastor, taking it to cabinet meeting. That is not agape love. I should be able to cover that sin with my love. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a gossip about a matter separates intimate friends. Another way that love covers multitude of sin is choosing not to take offense at anything. I think I've been through this thing before. Some sins against us, some of the sins that people sin against you, they're not even worth confronting. They slight you. What is that personal slight? They made some ignorant remarks, some rude remarks. It doesn't mean anything.
All those annoying things that they do, some of these things can be easily forgiven for the sake of love. That is why people say, pick your fight. When my daughter said pick, I said, no, pick nothing. Praise the Lord. I said, don't pick nothing. Pick none. Don't fight. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience, but it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It is to your glory. That's why when we come up here, we want to talk about Pastor Dorothy, because we know how much she does this thing that we're talking about. Once she was irritated, I know that something was, getting under my nerves, it was getting under my skin, but I saw her, she started to worship. Praise the Lord. We give you all the glory. And I'm like, what? This thing was so annoying. But when it got to her next stage, she couldn't stop it. Somebody like us, like you, will do what? We give them a piece of your tongue to show them that, you know what, it's not about Christ. I can handle you, but for Christ. No. But she raised her hand, and we all stood and raised our hand. I said, worshiping God. Praise the Lord. That is what agape love is showing us today. Everything, he says, a person's wisdom means patience. Is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all things. That's not the one I'm talking about. Proverbs 10:12, I think it's a different translation. It talks about, it's the same thing but different wordings. But there you can see some contrast. It says hatred does what? Hatred. Whereas hatred stirs up a conflict. Hatred makes you want to start a fight. But what does love? It is contrasting that hatred with love. But what do you have to do as a child of God? You love. So whereas the hatred is trying to stir up that conflict, love is trying to do what? To make peace. And that's what we saw when Pastor was raising up her hand. Praise the Lord. The love covers all offenses, all transgressions, no matter the transgression of your sister or brother today. Walk in love and cover it. Praise the Lord. Hatred, the way it's paraphrased, let me just get to something else. Praise the Lord, out of time. There's no time. So in our personal relationships going forward, we're to show love in our forgiveness of others. It is one of the characteristics of agape love. It doesn't record any, has no record of wrong. It doesn't keep a list of it. Love also forgives. Praise God. When you love somebody, you want to forgive them. I saw an illustration that I wanted to use. Okay. Praise the Lord. Someone asked an elderly Christian lady, does the devil ever trouble you about your past sins? She answered, yes. When the inquirer asked, asked her what she did, then she replied, oh, I just tell him to go east. What do you do if he comes back again? I tell him to go west. When he comes back again from the west, what do you do? Says, well, I just keep going from left, east to west, west to east. Praise the Lord.
You know why she said that? Because the Bible says that your sin, your lawless deed that the Lord has removed as far as the east is from the west, or even so, he has forgotten your sin, he has thrown it into that ocean of forgetfulness. Even so, like this woman, she said, when the devil comes, I say, go east. When he comes, go left. He keeps coming, okay, left, east, west, because as far as the east is from west, so also God has removed what? Our own sins. Praise the Lord. That's a lot of forgiveness in agape love. It says 40 times, 70 times, 7 times. 70, a multitude of sins. 70 times, 7 times. Praise the Lord. Because where there is sin, grace also, that's much more. More grace is also provided. Amen. Forgiveness, abundant forgiveness. Abundant forgiveness. And then a love that restores. Remember what all the things that Peter did. He denied Christ. He denied Christ 3 times. Even though he was there, everything that happened to Christ, he was there. And then at the last minute, he denied him. What did Christ do?
He forgave him. He didn't just forgive him, he restored him. So go after reconciliation. Whoever it is that has offended you, you know, and do what? Restore them back again to that friendship. Some will say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with them again. No, you have to restore. Agape love does what? Forgives and also restores. Amen. Again, verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Love does not just cover a lot of sin by all the things we've said. Love also covers sin by offering hospitality. Most of us don't even know it. It's not only about welcoming visitors, welcoming strangers. You know, it is one thing with, you know, children of God. Hospitality is also to minister to one another. That is basically what it means. Ministering to one another, meeting them at the point of their needs. He says, do not forget to show hospitality. Showing hospitality is also a way of offering, a way of covering their sins. Acceptance, Romans 15:7. God wants us to accept our spouses the way they are. Accept your sister in the Lord, your brother in the Lord, the way they are. Accept that your boss the way he is. Accept that neighbor that you call nasty the way they are. Accept people the way they are. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, continue to accept and welcome one another, just as Christ has accepted and welcomed us to the glory of our great God. Yeah, it's part of loving somebody. Accepting them is part of also loving them. God's love is rooted in us. Amen. So we can do what? Accept people just the way they are. Be patient with their failures. We all have flaws. Why do we not even accept them? Because of their flaws, their failures, their weaknesses. We all have the same thing. And you want them to accept you the way they are. You are. You should also accept them the way they are. The love of God that we have on the inside of us, it has empowered us to do so, to be able to love even the unlovable. Amen? What we all know that people do not act the way we want them to act. But we are called to love them in spite of themselves, in spite of their failures, in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of their flaws, because we all have flaws. Amen? Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, even so you must also forgive. And then if you keep holding on to that grudge, you're not accepting them. If you keep holding on to that grudge, you've not forgiven them. You cannot say you've forgiven them. You cannot say you've accepted them if you're still holding on to a grudge. A man gave a testimony here about not accepting people in his congregation. He judges them based on what he thinks about them. That was talking before. I was talking about. He says, I once went up to a biker with a leather jacket and tattoos and earrings and shared the good news of the gospel. I must admit that I thought that this man would never believe in the gospel. But to my surprise, he was already saved. He was already what? Saved. So when you go looking at people because they wear earrings, they have tattoos, they do this one, and you're judging them, forget it. I remember when our Pastor Galloway, the first time he came here, I almost had a fit. He was sitting right in front of me. I was still fresh. I just came. I'm like, what? He's a pastor? He has tattoo? He has earring? He has his hat facing backwards? He has a dreadlock? I'm like, what kind of a pastor is this? The same thing happened to this man. He was condemning this person. He went to preach to him. Behold, the man was a what? Strong, born-again Christian. So you cannot judge people the way they are and not accept them because of the way they are. Praise the Lord. We must accept one another as Christ has accepted us. Okay, there was a story again about a man who was obviously poor and who had soiled and torn clothing that came into a church. He came into a church. The man came forward at the invitation, but when a deacon saw the man pick up a pack of cigarettes in his pocket, the deacon went straight to him and took the pack of cigarettes out of his hands and crushed them and said, not in here. After the service ended, the pastor came up to the same man and gave him $10 so that he could buy another pack of cigarettes and apologize for what the deacon had done. This pastor welcomed this man, and the deacon should have done so also. But thankfully, the man was saved anyway. That's not what the deacon had done. When someone comes into your church, he's now advancing us into our home, wherever we are.
we must always receive them. Rich, poor, dressed in rags or well-dressed, smoking cigarettes, tattoos, earrings, whatever it is, pierced nose, pierced tongue, you must always accept people. Amen. You know, God has so loved us. He forgave our sins. He blessed us with an inheritance. He saved us from sin. He said, look, God has done so much. Why is it a problem for us to extend that grace to another sister, to another brother, to your boss, to me? Why is it difficult to extend the grace? Let me give you another illustration. Charles Spurgeon. How many of you have heard about Charles Spurgeon? He's one of those big barbers, right? Okay, that is in the law, spiritual daddies, right? So Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker both had churches in London in the 19th century. On one occasion, Parker commented on the poor condition of children admitted to Spurgeon's orphanage. It was reported to Spurgeon, however, that Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. Spurgeon blasted Parker the next week from the pulpit. They do that, right? The attack was printed in the newspapers and became the talk of the town. People flocked to Parker's church the next Sunday to hear his rebuttal. Guess what? Now listen to what happened. The man came up. I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today. And this is the Sunday that they used to take an offering for the orphanage. Now, listen, I suggest we take a love offering on his behalf. That is someone that blasted him. So the crowd was delighted. The usher started to empty the collection plate 3 times. Later that week, there was a knock at Parker's study. It was Spurgeon. You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. You have given me not what I deserved. You've given me what I needed. That's how it should be with you. Give them what they need, not what they deserve. And the same thing happens in marriage. Praise the Lord. Our marriage, if you know you don't know how to, you don't know loving your husband the way you ought to, you're not loving your wife the way you ought to, please come to family forum so we'll teach you. Because agape love is volitional. It's an act of the will. It's not a feeling that goes, people think love is, today I feel bad because they didn't meet my need, because they did this to me, because they did that to me. They didn't do what I'm supposed to do, so I feel bad. You know, and some will say, you know what? I don't think I can stay in this marriage anymore. We see that in this country. You know, I just fell out of love. Agape love, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is that agape love we're talking about. So it's constant, in season and out of season. You will learn how to love your spouse. Titus, the big book of Titus. Titus 2 verse 4 says that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. You can teach agape love. You can learn to love your husband. You can learn to love your wife sacrificially, agape love. You can learn to love that sister that is annoying in the church, that brother, that one that is so irritable. You can learn to love that boss. With agape love, you can teach yourself to love others because it is not a carnal love. It is not the way you feel. It's about who God is. Praise the Lord. Don't lose any hope at all. Let not your faith, right? Let it not be shaken. You know what? You still want to love your husband the more? You want to love your wife the more? You want to love that sister that you don't think can ever love? You want to love them? Agape love said, you can do that. Titus 2:4 said, you can do that. That is why you should attend family forum. That is why you should come to pre-marriage counseling before you get married. So we can agape you, love and love on you, and also show you how to love your husband, how to love that wife when you go in there. Praise the Lord. Finally, I want to read, when you get home, you can read this illustration. It's Noah and his sons. It's found on Genesis 9, 18 to 25. Just want to show you practically how to agape love, you know, present itself. How love covers a multitude of sins. That's what I said we're going to do today. That's what we've been talking about. And finally, I'm going to show you, you know, just share this illustration with you. Noah was a man that was loved of God, right? He was a righteous man, right?
And after the flood, they came out with his wife and his kids. So one day, Noah, I saw him plucking the grapes. I looked at that. I wish I could have shown it here. The grapes. And then Noah started to drink in his tent. He drank and drank and drank until he was drunk. A drunken what? Slut. And then he laid what? Naked. When he laid naked in his tent, what happened? He had three sons. The first one to come was Ham. He saw his father. He looked at his, look at this man. I believe that's what happened because he was looking at him. He did nothing to cover the father's shame, to cover his nakedness. He stood looking at him. And then after a while, he left. He went back. Obviously, I said to his son, look at this one, drunken slut. How is he going to be a father? Look at what he's doing. So he went and he told his other two brothers. Ooh, agape love. Covering your sister with love. Covering their sin, their nakedness with love. So these two sons of his, they took a big, is it a blanket? I don't know what to call it in that, you know, in their own time. They took that, they call it a big blanket, and they walked backwards. This is their father. They walked backwards so they wouldn't see the nakedness of their father. When they got to where the father is, they spread, covered him with a blanket, and then helped him up. When I read this thing, when I saw the clip that I wanted to show, I said, wow, this would be good. Noah's two sons covered their father's nakedness. They covered his sin with their love. But the first son, Ham, saw the father's nakedness, sneered at it, and went back to talk about it. When Noah came back, my time had been cut. I think I still have 3 minutes. So when Noah woke up, what happened? He blessed his other sons, and then he cursed Ham's son, his own son. It's like our parents used to say, but forget it. Our parents would say, what you did to me, let your child do it to you. It was like that in those days. It's no longer like that now. This is the day of grace, right? Era of grace. So, but then he cursed his son's son, his generation, but he blessed that of his other two sons, Japheth and the other one. He blessed them. That is what it means to cover your friend's sins with your love. Cover your husband's sin. Cover his nakedness. Cover your wife's sin. Because where do you see the most of somebody's shortcomings and failures? In a marriage where you've stayed for 40 years, like us, 41 years, going up, 30 years, 10 years, you've seen everything about their nakedness. But then, you have to cover their nakedness, cover their sin with love. Praise the Lord. I have a little quiz. So I'm going to bring it up again. And then just answer me, cover it, act in love, or cover it with love. In the arguments you have with your spouse, how do you act? Cover their sin with love. In the arguments you're having with your children daily, what do you do? Cover their sin. One, answer me, cover their sin with love. With your parents, how do you act? Cover their sin with love. In the friction you always have with your parents-in-law, cover their sins with love. In your short situation you are facing in your with your boss, cover her sins with love. In the family situation that causes you stress and then you decide to not act in love, no, cover their sin with love. With a stranger that you don't know that comes into your house, what do you do? Cover their sin with love. Show them love. Do what? Minister to them. Show them hospitality. When you're facing some mistakes in your life that your husband brought or your wife brought, what do? You cover their sin with love. Always, always walk in love. See, love will never, you can never err when you walk in love. You can never do what? Err when you walk in love. So today, I encourage you as you live here, have a turn around life and begin to love as Jesus loves you. And in every situation, always, always, always walk in love. Why? Because love covers what? A multitude of sins. Amen? Praise the Lord.